reading verses 1 through 5. There's a long mark. It says, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that believeth him that begat, beloveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?" Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you this morning, Father, to be in this place, Father, to worship you and exalt your name, lift up the name of Jesus. I thank you, Heavenly Father, for all that you have done for the church, Lord, for each and every brother and sister, Lord, for all mankind, that you sent Jesus, Lord, to pay the price. And I thank you, Father God, for life eternal, and I thank you, God, for life and life more abundantly. As I speak this morning, Father, I pray, Father God, to speak with clarity and to speak the words you've given me through me, Lord, that you be exalted. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, I want to ask you to look at me. Y'all all know me as Monty Hall. Y'all all know me as a born-again Christian man, I'm sure. You think about me and a friend, a brother in Christ. I'm also, as y'all are, most all of us are, an overcomer. I didn't get that way immediately. April can tell you that. Brother Scotty can tell you that. Some of you in here that know me can tell you that. But how I did get there was through our Lord Jesus Christ. And what I'd like to speak about this morning is the word he gave me, because I feel so unworthy to even talk about it because it took me so long to get there. But then, you know, God has to deal with each and every one of us on earth, the way that we accept him and the way that we hear him and the way that we take his word and act upon it. And I was a little slow in some places. A lot of Christians, born-again believers, are not necessarily overcomers. At least there's maybe to a degree. I've always felt like that I was somewhat of an overcomer because I knew I was born again. And I knew I'd overcome the dominion of sin, but I didn't know how to walk in that life. I didn't know how to experience what God gave me through the Lord Jesus Christ. And what it does when you live your Christian life not knowing how you are and the authority you have and the gift that Jesus gave us to overcome all that the world can throw at us, that Satan can throw at us, for anything that you can imagine to come at you, it's like being a Christian with a set of handcuffs on. But to me, that's the way it felt. I would see other people experience stuff. Even, you know, after we started church here, I would see, you know, this person, God's moving, working for me. This person, God's blessed me doing this. Now, don't get me wrong. God blessed us and God blessed me. But I said, okay, I started hearing Brother Scotty say, "I'm next." So I would do this. "I'm next, Lord. I'm next, Lord." And I over the course of several years, it didn't seem to be happening to suit me. And I say me because I don't know how God's working in my life. So what he did is he set me up with a lot of information from our Sunday school teacher, from our pastor. And last week, it didn't dawn on me how that information came to me, the path that he took me on, until I heard this thing from the Holy Spirit say, "Blessed are those that hunger for righteousness, for they shall be filled." And I remember looking back, I say, "Lord, why is this not working for me like it works for everybody else? Why is April so steadfast and hold on to her faith like a bulldog, and I'm up and down like a bulldozer going through a roller coaster? You know, up here, fall real quick. Up here, climb slow, fall real quick." That's the way I felt. And it was evident sometimes, if you'd been around me, just like like April's around. And I said, Lord, I want to be up there where a lot of other people are, at least, you know, where it looks like I am. But I didn't really want that. I wanted everything to be real. So I started praying, asking God, and God started opening doors for me. And the number one thing he opened for me was, is when you want more of God, you have to ask him. And he'll start revealing to you how you have to go about doing it. John's saying here in these verses that we're overcomers first because we're on the path because we're born again. We believe that Jesus is the Son of God, the only begotten Son of God. He came and paid the sin price for our sins. That's the first step. The next thing a Christian needs to do is change how they look at Jesus. Now, once you're born again, you see Jesus as your Savior. That's good. That's true. But once you're born again, you have to realize he's not now only the sacrificial Lamb of God. He was the all-powerful Son of God. After he came off that cross and went in that tomb and was rose from the dead the third day and ascended in heaven, he paid the price. The only thing that people have to do is believe it. After you do that, then you start taking steps. And that's one reason I thank God for this church, because over a period of years, because I'm kind of hard-headed and won't take things the way God, was shaking your head, yes, April, the way God wants me to, he lays it out in front of me, and I'm slow about getting it. John's telling us where we legally stand. Once you're born again, you have a legal right to everything that Jesus is and does, except being God himself. That's the only thing that you don't have a right to, legally. Jesus paid the price. When you believe he paid the price, you believe in your heart, you repented, you're born again, now you have a lot more things to look for. Once you become an overcomer, and it says in Matthew 28 that Jesus, that God gave Jesus all power in heaven and earth. Now, he said this after his resurrection. And in Ephesians 1, 20 and 22, it tells us that Jesus is seated at the right hand of God in heavenly places. That's where we are. Even though I didn't know it, I'm going to use me for an example, because I know for a fact what I did and didn't do, and I'm probably one of the best examples out there of failure to do this or not doing it the way, you know, it probably needs to be done. Now, it might not have been so easy for April, but for me, looking at her, it's like she got born again and whoop, she hit the ground running. And there wasn't no backing up. For me, I realize that I get born again, and like I said, I feel like I'm on this roller coaster. I'm just up and down, up and down. So what I failed to do is I failed to take Jesus, and even though I know he's all-powerful Son of God, I believe God's word, but I didn't make that real in my heart, in my life. I didn't use the things that God put in his word. So the first thing I started doing, starting to pray, I know to pray and ask God to help me. Now, I'm not going to let go of God. I made that statement, that's in my heart. I'm not ever going to let go of God. I got something, you know, I thirsted for righteousness. I got what God has to offer, and I'm not going to let go of it. I don't care where the path takes me or what happens. So now, I'm asking God, what do I need to do? God starts opening doors. I start hearing more here of things that I need to do, what I need to do. I need to walk in faith. I need to walk in love. I need to study the word. I need to at least read it. And as I start doing this, I realize God's opening doors. Now, at the time it's happening, I don't realize it. I'm still up and down. As of right now, there could be some things happen to me that might shake me a little bit. But I'm not where I need to be, but I am further along on this. There ain't no more roller coaster in my mind, in my heart. I'm up to a certain place now, and I'm going to stay there. I'm not going backwards. But I've learned, whenever God gives you something, if you'll hang on to it, until you get the victory and you overcome, you take a step. You're not on a roller coaster no more. And when you get to that step, you don't back up, no matter what. My problem was, what we hear a lot here, I had doubt. I had worry. And we know what that is. Doubt, worry is the opposite of faith, and it's fear. And until I learned to give that to God, I didn't realize where I was at, seated with Jesus in heavenly places. And it says in God's Word, I'm not going to turn to all of these, but I'm going to speak them. We are crucified with Jesus in Galatians 2 and 20. We're justified with Jesus in Romans 3, 24. We're sanctified in 1 Corinthians 1 and 2. We're satisfied with Him in Philippians 1 and 11. We are ascended with Him. I told you about in Ephesians chapter 1, but it says in Ephesians chapter 1 and 3 and 2 and 6, we're ascended with Him and seated in heavenly places. We're glorified in Him with 2 Thessalonians 1, 10 through 12. And we're complete in Him in Colossians 2, verses 6 through 10. It took a while for me to get there. When I realized I'm all of these things in Jesus, then I understand and the revelation is real to me, who can be for me or against me if God be for me. And it just, you know, once I got that, and I didn't get it last night, but yesterday evening as I was reading over this and studying it and asking the Lord what I needed to speak about, it's like I got the revelation all over again. And I told them in the men's meeting, I spoke about the first verse I used, blessed are those that hunger for righteousness, for they shall be filled. That's what I was hungry for, and I didn't realize it. I wanted more of God. I'm going to tell you something, when you ask for more of God, He's going to give you more. God knows your heart. He knew my heart. He knew I really wanted more. But I didn't realize what I was going to have to do to get more until I took each step. Now, I don't know if I took them in the right order or what, but just the way I did it. I started praying and asking God. Well, we hadn't been going to church here long, and I didn't really... thinking about it when Sister Teresa asked for somebody to do this on this last Sunday of every month, I didn't really think about it. Next thing I know, I'm volunteered to do it. I don't feel worthy to be doing this. Although I'm made worthy through the Lord Jesus, I don't feel it. Because I feel like I'm the least of everybody, because I'm telling you, I'm up to where I'm up now. But to get there, it was a roller coaster. Poor April. Bless her heart. She helped me a lot. Brother Scotty helped me a lot. Sister Teresa. All of y'all helped me a lot. Y'all, Brother Johnny was an inspiration to me. And always has been. But I appreciate all y'all. And another thing I didn't realize I had, if you would, turn with your Bibles, John chapter 14, verse 12. Another thing, I kind of felt like, you know, God's Word says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And I kept feeling like, well, you know, something's not right here, because, you know, I feel like I'm forsaken. I feel like there's something missing. And the whole time it wasn't God or it wasn't Jesus, it was me missing. That's what the problem was. It says in chapter 14, verse 12. Glasses on mine. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. We have authority in the spiritual world where it counts. If I never have any kind of authority, fatherly authority, governmental authority, organizational authority in this world, that's fine. But what all of us need, and what I needed, was authority in the spiritual realm, in the spiritual world, living in this world. And I would not exercise it. Do you know why I wouldn't exercise it? I didn't stay here long enough. That's just plain and simple. I prayed and asked God and asked God and asked God. And on the outside, it might have seemed like maybe I was, but I wasn't. On the inside, I was just, up and down, up and down. When I found out, when it was revelation to me, that Romans chapter 12, verse 2, when I got my mind changed, when I changed it, when God helped me change it, that I have this in my life, I'm the one that can change it. Jesus has done it. He paid the price. If I want to become an overcomer, He gave me every tool and everything I needed, but I wasn't using it. I was praying and asking, and if truth be told, I can't remember right in my mind, subconsciously, I was probably thinking God's just going, whoa, and this big lot of noise and music and bright light, and I'm going to be boom. He's going to bring it down to me. It didn't happen to me that way. I'm too stubborn for that, I reckon. But slowly but surely, as I allowed the Lord, He brought me up to the level I'm at, and I'm looking forward to going to more levels. But now I know how to go about it. I'm not going to push it. I'm not going to, I'm going to go after it. I'm not going to stop. But I'm going to wait on the Lord and take His time. That's what I mean to say. But once I figured out that I got the authority, Jesus is telling His disciples this. And there's another scripture, I don't know where it's at. Somebody said, blessed is he because they see all these great works Jesus is doing. And Jesus says, nay, but blessed is he that doesn't see and believes. More blessed. Well, I didn't see all the things Jesus did, but I believe He did them. And He's telling me right here, if you think this is something, son, you're going to do greater things than this. Do you know it's a great work when to God when He sees a transformation inside of a born-again Christian like that? That's a great work. Because we have not only Satan fighting against us, we have the whole world and the organization He's got set up out there fighting against us that we live in. He's got people that He sends in our path. Sometimes they know what they're doing, maybe, and sometimes they don't. I don't know. But anyway, we have all of this stacked against us. But what I mean to say is, that's nothing. Like Brother Paul said, I know now that does not move me. What moves me is my God's Word and what He places in my heart every day. Let's turn to Luke chapter 10, verse 19. I'm not going too slow because I ask God not to let me go any faster than He needs me to go. It says, behold, chapter 10, verse 19 says, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. The first word power there is translated into the Greek, if I can say this right, exousia. And it means delegated, given. Jesus gave us that power. He paid for that authority to give to us. He has the power, and only He has the power to give it to us. We have the power to accept it, to believe it, and to use it. Now you might say, well, what kind of power is that? Do you know that when God revealed to me how to overcome all this, it's nothing but a mental battle is all it is between us and Satan. He's trying to tell my mind, you're not saved. You ain't got no enough faith. You're not good enough. You can't do that. And I've just got to tell Him God's Word says that I can, and I believe God's Word. I'm born again, and it's going to happen whether I see it or not. It's happening. And that's all it is a mental battle. Well, I'm not like a, rocket scientist about that. And whenever it all came together, it was like, man, this is like every time I swing, it's going to be a home run. All I got to do is learn how to swing. That's all baseball players do. Hank Aaron, Babe Ruth, and all of them, you tell them my age. I don't know who beat their records. Somebody did, I know. they just learn, you know, to watch what's coming at them and learn how to swing. Praise God, that's not hard. I can do that, you know. I'm at least like the average monkey, the way I see it. But anyway, the second word in there, power, is dynamis. Powerful ability and strength. Now you put them two words together, and it says, Jesus is talking here, and he says, behold, I give unto you delegated authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the powerful and ability strength of the enemy. Now, if I've got power over the powerful power of the enemy, imagine what kind of power I got. You have, we have, every born-again Christian. The problem is seeing it, believing it, acting on it, whether you see results or not, until the results happen. Now, I know we all know this, but like I said, and again, Monty's a little slow sometimes about stuff getting to him. It's not that I'm slow in the head, I don't know why. But whenever it gets to me, boy, I hang on to it. Now, in Colossians 2:15, it tells us Jesus defeated all the evil supernatural powers against us. Starting with Satan and every evil demonic spirit there was, even the power of death, hell, and the grave. Now, what power does that have over people? Number one, anybody that doesn't know what death is afraid of it. Death is nothing more than a door. And everybody that passes through it has to meet God. And God is going to reserve his punishment till then, or not punishment, his judgment, according to what the person is, a believer, not a believer, what they've done in life, what they haven't done in life, so forth, so on. Well, Jesus took all of that away from a Christian. We know when we pass through that door, if we will do and kick Satan's rear end with on this mental game and walk our lives, we're what we're going to hear. Enter in, thou faithful servant. And it's not like it's, I mean, I say it's not really hard if you stop think about it. Getting out there and living it day to day seems like it's hard, because living in this world, like Brother Scott is talking about, that time he had a, or somebody I think told him they had a vision, he was going upstream. Maybe he had a dream. I don't remember exactly how it was. That's the only thing about living in this world that's hard. Getting out there in this world is like swimming upstream. Yeah, it's going to be kind of, you know, not easy, because this world is against us. And I've told our boys and our children before, I said, y'all hear me gripe and complain and make rules and regulations, I'm not going to let you do this or do that, and the only thing I'll tell you is you're not going to be like the world, the world, the world. I say that a lot to them. The reason is there's nothing nor anybody in that world out there, especially if they're not related to you, that has any care for you in the spiritual. The only ones that do are your brothers and sisters in Christ that's got their eyes on Jesus. I'm sorry to say that there's probably Christians out there that's born again that just don't realize they're trying to get through another way. That's not my subject. But the thing is, the world does not care about us. As a matter of fact, nowadays, if you're a born-again Christian, it's getting harder and harder to swim up that stream. But Jesus read where Jesus spoke and said, we have authority to overcome all of that, no matter what it is. Is it going to be hard? Maybe at times. But in the end, it's always worth it. Always. And it always will be. Let's turn over to Ephesians chapter 6. I'm going to be the first to say I've heard this and heard this and heard this, but I'm going to be the next one to say I still need to hear it. We're going to start in verse 10. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now Paul is writing this in the form of a fully armored soldier going to battle. And the reason for that is we are fighting a battle. We live in this world that was created by God. Of course, we know that it's cursed by sin. And as Christians, it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18 and 19, we're ambassadors to Christ, and we have the ministry of reconciliation. What does that mean? God expects us to tell others about this good news, about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The world don't want to hear it. It's an enemy to the world. The cross is an enemy to the world. They don't want to hear Jesus. The reason for that is because the word convicts them. The truth convicts them. What is truth? John 17:17 says, Jesus is praying for the disciples and all the born again people later on in that chapter. He says, sanctify them in thy word, thy truth. Thy word is truth. That's what truth is. You want to know what truth is? Get in God's word. You can bombard yourself with truth. And not only that, whenever you do, or I'm going to say from my standpoint, I don't see where God would be any different because there's no respecters of person. It helped me so much because I got to realizing God's not got anything stacked against me. Everything that's stacked against me has been my fault, mankind's fault. If you read back in the Old Testament, I've said it before and I'll say it again. If you really take an objective look at it, it's not an all-powerful God that wants to kill. It's an all-powerful, all-loving God that's been hurt time and 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 time again. And eventually, he has to let justice take its place. And we live in an age of grace, dispensation of grace right now. But eventually, judgment is going to take its place when God says, let it happen. And it says we're the blessed breastplate of righteousness. You can find a reference to that in 1 John 3 and 7. Surround yourself with the fruits of righteousness. What is that? Good character. Good deeds. Good morals. Where do you find all of that? Once again, when you're born again, God's word. Galatians 5 and 22, I believe it says, tells us about what the fruits of the Spirit is. Romans tells us if we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The lust of the flesh, what that phrase means is you won't look like, act like, talk like, and be like the world. You will look like, act like, and talk like Jesus. That's what the fruits of the Spirit mean. Then it goes on and tells us the shield of faith. Now, we were just reading in John, 1 John 5 and 4. I want to read that one scripture once again, but I want to read it and amplify. My brother Scotty says a lot of people may say, well, you've got a lot of faith because of this, you've got a lot of faith because of that. I've got a lot of faith because two reasons. One, God give me the measure of faith to use. And two, if I've got any ability to use faith at all, it's because I found it in God's word. And I practice it and I use it. Now, does that mean I got more faith than anybody else? That's not for me to decide. I'm just telling you what will happen. You want to strengthen your faith? As with the First thing about finding truth, find truth. When you find truth, God will strengthen your faith, because without truth, nothing makes any sense. You think about it. Nothing makes any sense without truth. Now, I'm not talking about truth compared to lies, because anything that's not the truth is a lie. And we know where lies come from, right? The enemy. He's the father of it. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. I'm going to read this amplified. For everyone born of God is victorious and overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has conquered and overcome the world. Our continuing, persistent faith in Jesus, the Son of God. That verse, whenever that verse became revelation, I have read that verse I don't know how many times in my life, and just like everything else, when God made it a revelation in my heart, it was not hard to figure out. What does that mean? Like I said, it's not going to be easy all the time, but no matter what, you hang on to Jesus. What does that mean? You believe, if you're born again, in your heart, you know that you're born again. I personally don't know if anybody's born again except what they tell me, and I can see the outward appearance. God knows the heart, the inward appearance. When you know that, there's other things to keep grasping for. Jesus said, I come to give life and to give life more abundantly. You want life more abundantly? Seek God. No matter how much we got, we can never get enough until we get with Him and we see who we are in Christ Jesus. While we're down here, we'll never see that. But while when we get to the Father, we will see that. It'll all be manifest. And He says, on your feet, have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In Isaiah 52:7, it says, blessed is the one, I may not say this exactly right, that brings the gospel of peace. I'm going to paraphrase it a little bit. Good tidings. The gospel of peace is the Lord Jesus Christ. What He did on the cross, I can't even begin to describe, even though I can describe it and I can feel it. But when you are born again and you realize what the authority and what Jesus did for you and what all He did for you and the price He paid, to me it made me, I feel like if I don't seek God, Jesus paid that price for nothing. I don't want that. I don't want that. It hurts. I wasn't there, but I believe what the Word says. Jesus shed His blood for me. He had pain for me. He took on poverty that I might be rich. He took on stripes that I might be, that I am healed. I don't want to make little of that. Anybody in this room, if you did anything for me at cost of your life, it would move me. And I know everybody in this room has watched a movie before that's moved you, almost your emotions to what, tears or an upheaval inside of you. That's the way I feel when I think about what Jesus paid. Only for me, not only for me, but for everybody in the world. To give me freedom from sin, the dominion of sin. And to take away the judgment and the punishment for the sins that I committed in the past. Then he goes on and says to put on the helmet of salvation. I want to read Romans. Let's turn to Romans 1:16. I love this verse. I love all of them. I really love this one. It says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Now I want to read it in Amplified. I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation from His wrath and punishment to everyone who believes in Christ the Savior, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. That's another one of the promises. I love it. If you keep reading God's Word, you find out real quick it's not full of, oh man, I got to do this and I got to do that and I can't do this and I can't do that. No, it's full of promises if you choose. That's right. And I love it. I mean, I can't, sometimes I'm not pushing it, but I'm thinking, man, you know, the way I feel when God makes revelation to me, when I get to heaven and I get to meet Jesus and see the Father. Well, I know now why we were going to have to be glorified, because my earthly Monty can't handle that. I mean, goodness gracious. Just thinking about it right now, it's just, you know, I know the things that I went through, and God spared me. And He spared me because He loved me. And He knew that if I ever had that change of heart, what He would have in me. And Jesus paid the price and to get the investment for us, to get it out of us. And God said, it's worth it. You know, when God made mankind, if you read in the Bible, it says the angels marvel at us. Now, it says that Jesus was made as man a little lower than the angels. Now, what that means is not that we're lower in, I don't know what word to describe it. They're in heaven, and we're on earth. That's the lower part. In God's eyes, we're in His image. We're above the angels. He favors us over all the angels, because He sent someone, His Son, to die for us, to save us. We were on a sinking ship, destined for hell. And God says, believe me and take my hand. You ain't got to go down to this ship. The problem is the world don't want to believe that. And every time I think about that, I said, thank you, Lord. And all I can know to do is say thank you, Lord, from my heart, because I can't say it enough. You know, sometimes in my carnal mind, I get wonders of God, I hope you don't get tired of me saying thank you, because I don't know what to say, but thank you and I love you. And help me to be honor you with obedience. So we heard from Sister Teresa that obedience is better than sacrifice. Now, I read John 14:12 a while ago, and we can do all the things that Jesus give us the authority to defeat with all the tools that I just read about in His Word that He gives us. The number one thing that He gives us that's going to make more difference than anything in the world is He did it first. And He said in John 14:12, I do these works, greater works shall you do. Well, He's did all of the things that we needed. He's given us all the power we need over the enemy. He did it first. He defeated everything. It says in, we just read in Ephesians 6, chapter 12, chapter 6, verse 12, that He defeated all principalities and power and give us power. That's just awesome to me. I know everybody else probably knows this, and I'm the last one in line, but praise God I got it. I love it. Let's turn to John 14:26. Now, the last thing that I want to say before I read this is, not only did Jesus give us all of this, He paid the price, give us the tools, we have the Word, God's Word, but He also gave us something even more real, the Holy Spirit. Whenever we realize what and who Holy Spirit is, He is the one that comes to earth in Jesus' name, because Jesus can't be everywhere on earth. He's a man. And don't get me wrong, I'm not taking anything away from Him. Holy Spirit can be everywhere. If Johnny needs help when he's at work, Holy Spirit's right there. When Monty needs help at work, Holy Spirit's right there. When all of y'all need help and you reach out, Holy Spirit's right there. But the only way you can have Him is to be born again. And Jesus tells us here, in verse 26, says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Now, it's a mighty thing that Jesus just said, but there's one word I want us to hang on this morning, remembrance. The Greek word there, I looked it up. I don't even know if I can say it. Hupomenonesco, something other like that. It means to put in your mind again, to bring back, to bring back from memory. The problem I realized God showed me I was having, the Holy Spirit couldn't put me in remembrance so much because I didn't have it. No matter what you do, Holy Spirit cannot put in remembrance if you've not heard it, if you've not read it, if you've not spoken it, if you haven't got it. It says in Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. If you translate that in common languages, if you want some more faith, read God's word. If you want some more ammunition, I'm going to paraphrase, read God's word. Because when you do, you may read it today, and it may not mean too much to you as far as hearing it. But when you read it, it's in there. And the Holy Spirit says, hey, remember when you read that? That's your revelation. If you don't read it, Holy Spirit can't put you in remembrance of it. And Jesus said right here that he will do it. And I believe that. So therefore, if we're having problems, and one of the problems I had was I couldn't seem to get past, you know, I didn't want to spend enough time in God's Word, and I still don't spend as much as I need to. But every time that I do, it never fails. The Holy Spirit will bring to remembrance something to me. That's where I get the revelations from whenever the Lord said, I come up here and I'm all googly about, and y'all probably already got it years ago, and I'm trying to play catch up here, but that's where it comes from. Now, there's one last thing. I don't expect everybody to turn here, but I'm going to. And Jesus tells us some of the rewards of what being an overcomer will be. In Revelations chapter 2 and 3, and he's talking to the churches. Who are we? We're the church. Now, I'm not going to go into a great big long. I've done this. Those chapters actually represent the church in its state, in its condition, at certain ages through the time. But I want you to read what the rewards are when you come out of that. He said in chapter 2 and verse 7, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Now we go over to verse 11, and he says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. And the second death is translated into the lake of fire, the death of the lake of fire. Now let's go to verse 17. It says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, save in he that receiveth it. Now go down to verse 26. He says, he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. Any of this sinking in? Amen. I'm glad it did, because I didn't let it sink in for a while. And we go to chapter 3 and verse 12. It says, to him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. Hallelujah. And we go over to verse 21. It says, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. To me, that says it all right there. Now, as believers, we all know that God's judgment on earth is coming. But I just read you out of God's word, out of the mouth of Jesus himself. If we are overcomers, he not only gives us the tools to walk down here and to live down here for him, and it not be like somebody's going to, you know, feel like we're going to die every day. He gives us hope, and it's hope. That hope's not a wish. It's a sure thing. And then after this world, man, I'm trying to imagine just standing here, like, and I did, every time I read that, I'm just trying to ask, what in the world can that be like? As much as I can imagine, it's not going to be close. I don't think. I think it's going to be a lot more. And I want to praise God for him, for the Son, Jesus, for his word, and for all of you guys. I love y'all. I'm thankful for all of you. That's all I got this morning. If anybody's got anything they'd like to say or ask or do,